Late Night Live. Ideas and opinions from around the world.
That was pretty good, Horace. It's an 8 out of 10. I think I'd like you tomorrow night to put more emphasis on ideas and opinions from around... Look, I'm not haggling. It's okay. Welcome to another week of Late Night Live. And I hope your affairs are in order, because I'm afraid the future is mushroom clouded. Indeed, this program will end tonight with a huge nuclear explosion. But before that, we're going to revisit the classic Greek graveyard with the charming Jane Montgomery Griffiths. I don't know if you recall, but the last time she was on the program, she was telling us all about Sappho. Well, this time she's been back with the shovel, and she has unearthed a female astronomer, mathematician and philosopher called Hypatia. And I've got to tell you, we should know about Hypatia. But first of all, of course, we should know about Canberra. And the bloke with the shovel on this occasion is Christian Kerr, who's the Canberra-based senior reporter with The Australian. Christian, I noticed Ken Henry looking gloomy, grumpy and somewhat gaunt as he strode a corridor of power today. What's he on about? Why isn't he happy?
Well, he's being vaguely apocalyptic. Central bankers, I think, always like things to be a bit more clean-cut than they might be turning out at the moment. He's saying it's too early to declare victory against the global financial crisis. He's saying that there are grounds for optimism, but he's also warning what about what he called a second shock wave. So that's the bad news just around the corner.
Well, so Ken and Kevin will out-gloom each other, will they?
Well, I think it might be contingency gloom. I mean, the way some of our major trading partners are still performing, it's not really that strong. The Australian economy is doing pretty well.
I'm sorry, can you just hold it for a minute there, Christian? You're sounding decidedly odd. Okay, now, would you pick that up where you left off? Because you'd sounded like you were broadcasting from the greatest Canberra sewer there for a second.
It's rather hard to tell where they begin and end around Parliament House.
There you are, loud and clear.
What's been happening here is that, of course, with the status of some of our major trading partners, it is a little awkward to say just what this might mean for Australia. So it could almost be a contingency planning for things just going a little bit bad further down the track.
Now, I know that you've been terrified because you read The Australian at the weekend and you heard the story about Kev and perhaps Kev and Ken applying capital gains taxes to the owner-occupied house. I believe he poo-pooed this in no uncertain manner.
Well, there seems to be this entire little bit lackluster, but still there nonetheless campaign from the opposition that they're really running today on health, housing, petrol. It all ties in with the debt and deficit lines. And of course, it's just really there to just try and muddy the waters on the whole issue of economic management. I mean, it's something that's still supposed to be a coalition strength. It's probably something that's still, some wobbles there for the government. So it's probably worth doing, particularly if you're getting a hammering on other subjects.
Well, and there was a bit of a hammering today. Would you deconstruct the latest in the emission trading scheme? I understand you argue that there's been a significant win for the opposition.
Well, I think more a modest win. I think the sheer fact the talking is now happening and that we've had the renewable energy target part decoupled from the emissions trading scheme, I think that's a modest win for Malcolm Turnbull. And I think particularly just actually lets the Liberal Party and even the Nationals demonstrate some greener credentials. The renewable energy target is a target where we hope to see 20% of Australia's electricity come from renewable sources by 2020. I mean, even the likes of Barnaby Joyce have smiled upon this. I mean, people tend to think it's at least a nice idea. It doesn't quite excite the emotions the way emissions trading does.
Are your emotions excited? I know Barnaby's aren't, by the thought of Cubby Station going under the hammer and becoming perhaps a national park.
Well, it's already a national icon. It's a national icon for bad water policy. I think that one of the biggest issues here that isn't being said, or at least not being said in public, is that Cubby Station is on the market for $450 million plus. Now, the beneficiaries, if it were to go through, if the Commonwealth to buy it to get the water, would effectively bunch of Queensland Labor Party mates.
I've never understood that. I've been appalled by the Cubby Station story for a hell of a long time. Are you telling me that it's owned by the comrades?
Well, it's not quite owned by the comrades. It's not as if it's in the super fund or anything like that. But there's always been that sort of whiff about the whole thing. And the general feeling is that why would you reward these people? Why would you reward such bad policy making? It's one of those awkward things. And of course, $450 million plus, it's a very big purchase.
And would the cure be significant? In other words, would suddenly there be a vast rush of a cleansing torrent, an Amazonian flow, right down to South Australia?
I think the short answer to that is no. I mean, one of the things here with Cubby is what's been done with the floodwater, the groundwater. Some of the ways things there are structured are very different to the rest of the Murray-Darling system. One of the big bones of contention about Cubby are the systems of banks and levees that have supposedly been erected there to tap into floodwater, to get water when the river rises above a certain level. I mean, there are a whole lot of different things there that really don't apply in the rest of the system. And that's, again, what makes it a bit of an awkward precedent.
Talking about floods and monumental events, I understand that Malcolm Turnbull is unlikely to be washed away in the immediate future.
Yeah, well, I think the ground's relatively secure under his feet over this sitting fortnight. I mean, while some of these debates on emissions trading are going on, it really removes some of the incentive to remove Malcolm Turnbull himself. I mean, if he has a relatively calm week this week, if we see the renewable energy target through, and it's hoped to be through both houses by the end of the week, without too much blood, I think it will just be a modest victory again for Turnbull. But of course, everyone will still be waiting for the main game, emissions trading, whenever that actually happens. And that, of course, really is when the coalition has some coherent amendments it can offer to the government.
Blessings upon you, Christian Kerr, from senior reporter with The Australian. And if Christian sounded a bit odd to you, it wasn't Christian's fault, I assure you. It's we're having a bit of a technical hiccup. We won't have it when we reclaim Hypatia. Music maestro, please.